Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
I've been making a case that the conscience points to God, our inward awareness of right and wrong. I left off yesterday with the common objection that I hear all the time. Different societies and different cultures have different ideas about what is right and what is wrong. My friends, they agree on more than you would think. Most correctly put, it is this one standard to treat other people with respect, to treat other people in an unselfish way, to not do anything convenient at somebody else's expense. Jesus called this the golden rule, but you don't have to believe in Jesus. When I'm in formal debates with atheists, they go out of their way to explain to the audience that they have the same morals and standards as Christians. I agree. I don't think any of us live up to those standards very well. I don't live up to them. My atheist friends don't live up to them. No human being lives up to them, but we have them. As I mentioned in yesterday's show, the very fact that we constantly disobey our conscience is one of the greatest arguments that the conscience came from some entity outside of ourselves. Because once again, if we were going to make all this stuff up, why wouldn't we make up something that we obey better or something that we like better? However, it is true that there are different customs in different lands. Let me give you an example, and in this example, I'm going to show you how it doesn't really contradict anything I've said. In some Middle Eastern countries, it is considered polite for dinner guests to burp or belch after a meal while still sitting at the table. In America, that would be considered impolite. What's interesting to me, however, is that both cultures agree that people should be polite. They just have different customs in getting there. Yeah, but Bob, what about racist organizations or those older societies which corporately enslaved others? Here, we don't even have the standard of respect. My friend, they aren't obeying the standard. Once again, human beings do not do a very good job of obeying the standard. We're asking if the standard exists, not if the standard is being obeyed. They don't obey the standard, but the standard to respect people is still there. What we see in these cases is a redefinition of the term person, or at least the term good person. When slavery or any other human evil is justified, some kind of rationalization occurs. Hitler succeeded in recasting the Jews as villains before persecuting them. He assumed that such propaganda was necessary. He did not assume that he could just kill Jews for no reason and have nothing to answer for. African Americans were labeled as subhuman by many in the pre-Civil War South. Why? Because for wealthy slave owners to admit that all human beings were the same would be to admit that slavery was evil. Yes, humans are notorious for figuring out ways to disobey their consciences. It is true, however, that certain types of brainwashing do occur when rationalization is taught. Mark Twain illustrated this truth in Huckleberry Finn, a brilliant author, a brilliant novel. Young Huck, because of his background, felt guilty for helping his slave friend Jim escape down the Mississippi because he had always been taught that to assist a runaway slave was wrong. At the same time, Huck knew that he would feel guilty for refusing to help poor Jim. What was confusing for a young boy need not be a mystery to us. We see the brainwashing of a cruel slave-trading society against the accurate, natural principle of love and kindness. Granted, individuals are exposed to contradictory influences in a large panorama of teaching, but this antithesis, at the very best, would create neutrality. We add to this neutrality a rebellious period in which children question most, if not all, of their values. The rebellion is generally followed by a more mature time of inventory. People ultimately pick and choose. A specific selection is made concerning which standards will remain or disappear. There must be some underlying feeling on which the choice is based. If a woman agrees that lying is wrong, there was something in herself that provided a comparison. Because of the Nazi Holocaust and because I was raised Jewish, I was raised by parents that essentially equated Germans with Nazis. My parents wouldn't buy any German products, even though I was growing up in the 1960s. World War II had long since been over. I was told that there was something about the blood of Germans. I heard that as a little kid. Even as a little kid, that sounded bizarre to me. But when you're a little kid, you tend to lean toward what your parents are saying. It did not take me long. I didn't even have to be an adult. I didn't even have to be a teenager to realize that what my dad was teaching me was nonsense. That it was his own kind of bigotry extended toward Germans. Oddly enough, my same dad always talked about how horrible the segregation in the South was. He always spoke up for human rights and civil rights, and he talked about the way black people were being treated in our country and how horrible that was. So I heard from him the standard that it's wrong to be a racist, and yet toward another race, in this case another white race, a European race, he had a horrible bigotry against the Germans. Now, that may have been understandable on some level because many Germans did go along with Hitler, but many Germans did not. Many Germans escaped. Many Germans hid Jews. They were in the minority. But there were many of them, so you can't make a blanket statement about Germans. And I realized this because I had a conscience of my own. Meanwhile, let me bring attention to the fact that our very condemnation of certain evil societies also argues against the Wolfpack theory, because according to moral relativists, whatever a society decides to do cannot be questioned. Why then do we morally renounce the gladiator games of ancient Rome or the slave-based economic system of the pre-Civil War South? Are we not assuming a universal standard which transcends culture? I once asked this question to a student who claimed that the conscience was a human invention to help society function. We're talking out on the college campus. He came by our book table. I said to him, "So you have no problem with the early slave states? Because they got together as a culture and decided that there was nothing wrong with owning other human beings as property. In fact, the institution of slavery was very convenient. It boosted the prosperity of the South. It was a lousy deal for the slaves, but for people who weren't slaves, they could have argued that this is good for society." Now, wanting to be consistent with his earlier point, the student finally said, "I suppose that would be true." I says, "Okay, let's be clear now. Let's make sure there is no misunderstanding. Are you saying, for the record, that there is nothing wrong with slavery so long as a society agrees that there is nothing wrong with it?" Oh, he hesitated. You should have seen the worried look on his face. He wasn't expecting our conversation to go this direction, but he wanted to be consistent. He finally said, "I guess I am saying that." Students will take pains to not lose an argument. I looked him right in the eye. I said, "I don't believe you really feel that way. And I'm paying you a compliment because you seem like a person of integrity. You seem like a person of high conscience. You are claiming that right now just to win an argument. But if we had met in a different context and we were merely discussing racism in its own right or politics, apart from philosophy, apart from religion, there is no way you would assert that slavery can be justified in any situation." He says, "Sure, I would." I said to him, "Okay, really? Really? All right, let's try an experiment. You're on your way to class. I want you to ask the professor for just 1 minute of class time before the lecture begins. I want you to look your fellow students in the eye and say to them, without telling them about the context of our conversation, don't tell them you met me out at the book table. Don't tell them you're doing this to make a point about religion and why you don't believe in God and you believe the conscience comes from somewhere else. Don't say any of that. Just let the conversation work in isolation. Give it to them cold. Stand up and say, 'I just want all of you to know something about me. I do not believe there was anything wrong with slavery in the pre-Civil War South. I'm not saying it was right either. I'm just saying it wasn't right or wrong. We can't call anything wrong. And in this case, a certain culture, the South, made a decision about morality, and I believe we should respect the varied opinions of all cultures. Whether we agree or not, we should at least respect their right to have their opinion." I said, "Now, my friend, would you be willing to give that announcement in class today?" He looked at me for a second, and then he said in a very cocky voice, Yeah, I'll go say that." "All right," I said, "I'll be out here tomorrow with the same book table. I'll be here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. If you come back and tell me you made that statement, I won't call you a liar. I'll believe you. We made the appointment." I never saw him again. I'll eat my hat if he made that statement. because he discovered that day that he did indeed believe in the value of people, a value which would be impossible if life was an accident. And if life was not an accident, we are here for a purpose. And if we're here for a purpose, some kind of creator established the purpose. More on our rational argument for the existence of God next time on The Bob Siegel Show.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.